May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies, but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Hymn 1036. Let us read together in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13. The 13th chapter in Luke's Gospel. There were present at that season
some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. All or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come, seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye, tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today, and tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and help us now in prayer. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do look in mercy upon us now, a little company of poor, needy sinners, favoured to gather in thy earthly courts this evening. And we pray that thou wilt come in our midst and visit our souls. For Lord, we do not deserve anything at thy hand. We have sinned continually and done that which is evil in thy sight. And we would fall before thee now, conscious of what we are, what our sins deserve, and that thou art a holy and just God, and that thou dost know the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. Yea, thou knowest how each one of us have gathered tonight. Oh, we pray that thou wilt condescend to remember us in much mercy. For our only hope is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious sin atoning blood, his sacrifice, his glorious righteousness for our acceptance. Lord, we pray to be given that precious grace of living faith in our hearts, that we may not be left to attend to an acknowledge, to leave the truth acknowledged in an intellectual way. Lord, we want to receive the word with power, that he might enter into our poor hearts and have an abiding effect. Lord, do come by thy dear Holy Spirit this night. Favour us with a sacred sense of thy divine presence. And Lord, we pray that we may be enabled to leave all those things which we have attended to throughout the day, those things that have occupied our minds, all intruding carnal worldly thoughts. And Lord, we pray that this night there may be found within our hearts a reaching forth after Christ, to lay hold of him in all that he is and all that he has done for poor needy sinners. Lord, we cannot be satisfied without thee. Lord, thou art that one thing needful, for without thee we perish must. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt come as thou seest our individual needs, the paths we are walking in, the troubles, the distresses that we are passing through, the trials, the tribulations and afflictions. Lord, thou knowest the conditions of thy dear people. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and put forth thy healing hand this night. Bind up the broken hearted, we pray. Heal those that are sin sick. Bring forth those out of a prison where they're found bound in affliction and iron. And Lord, that the souls may be enabled by faith to lay hold of the precious truths of the gospel and to see in the dear Saviour a perfect sacrifice, a perfect atonement for our sins. Lord, oh then do remember us now, we pray, in much mercy. For Lord, we come as those Greeks did of old. We would see Jesus. And Lord, thou art, we humbly trust, we can say, the desire of our heart. For nothing else can satisfy our souls but a visit from thyself, a word, a token, a seal of thy love and mercy to a poor, needy sinner. Oh, then do attend to our cries this night, and those cries that have been offered up before this service. Thou knowest, Lord, those who feel to be at the ends of the earth in their experience. Lord, coming seemingly to the end of everything in their spiritual experiences, wondering where the scene will end. Lord, we pray that, oh, that such characters may taste of thy love and mercy and goodness toward a poor sinner this night. And Lord, we pray that that faith might be revived, that hope strengthened, and that soul brought out of that dunghill of self and sin and set among princes. Lord, it's thy work. Oh, do come and work mightily in this place as thy servants declare the glorious gospel from this pulpit. And Lord, that there may be in this place a lengthening of the cords, a strengthening of the stakes, a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left, if it could please thee. Lord, thou knowest those souls before thee who are longing for it, who are praying for it. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt come and make thy mighty power evident in the hearts of sinners, and that the souls might hear that word, Lazarus, come forth, loose him, loose her, and let them go. Lord, we pray for more faith. Oh, thou knowest how tried thy dear people are oftentimes, bound feelingly in unbelief, full of fears. But Lord, thou knowest the end from the beginning. And we pray, Lord, that there may be those who receive a glimpse of the dear Saviour, and to see in him their salvation, all their desire. Lord, we pray that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down this night and cause those mountains to be made a plain. Lord, we pray then for the young and rising generation. Lord, thou knowest those dear young people that are here and those not able to be here this night. We bear them before thee. Lord, watch over them and preserve them in their youthful days. Keep them, Lord, from the evils and the temptations with which they're surrounded in this day in which we live. And might it please thee to work mightily in their hearts, in their youthful days, Lord, that they may be found true seekers after thee. Lord, those in whose heart thy work has begun, Lord, carry it on. Be round about them, garrison them around with thy love and mercy. And in thy time, in thy way, might it please thee to bring them to know thee, whom to know is life eternal, that they may see their interest in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished for poor, needy sinners. Lord, do richly bless the dear young people, we pray. And oh, may there be in days to come those evidences, those seals manifested to thy dear people, that there may be a building up here. Lord, that there might be a godly increase to this little church. And Lord, oh, that there may be found here real spiritual prosperity, personally and collectively. Lord, thou knowest what thou wilt do. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Lord, May it be our exercise, our concern, to know that we are amongst those favoured characters, and to be enabled to declare that we know that we are amongst the Lord's dear people by the evidence in our poor heart wrought there by the Holy Spirit. Visit then these souls of ours, pierce the gloom of sin and woe, fill us radiancy divine, scatter all our unbelief, more and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day. Lord, hear our petitions we pray, and oh, that there yet may be a gracious revival amongst the churches, in our little denomination, in Zion at large. And yet, Lord, we've sinned against thee, for our sins and iniquities testify against us, yet our backslidings are many. And Lord, we pray that as we realize that thou art hiding thy face in this dark day in which we live, and Lord, oh, do show to us our sins, wherein, Lord, thou art grieved. Bring us to real repentance and true confession and godly sorrow for our sins. For, Lord, it's thy work and it's thy power alone. For thou wast exalted a prince and a saviour to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And Lord, although great sinners, Lord, we would fall at thy feet now, conscious of what our sins deserve, but imploring thy mercy, that thou will look upon us, that thou will come over the mountain of our many transgressions, unworthy though we are, that thou wilt shine once more into our poor hearts, Lord, that we might know a gracious revival, Lord, that there might be a deliverance from this languishing state our souls are found in so often, that lifelessness we feel. Lord, do grant to us thy enlivening grace. Lift us up above self, we pray, and oh, that we may be enabled to behold by faith for a few moments the glories of Emmanuel. Lord, we're unworthy of it, but thou art our only hope. It is in thee we trust, in all that thou hast done, that perfect sacrifice. Lord, thou art rose again from the dead, and art now in heaven at the Father's right hand, pleading the merits of thy blood for thy dear people. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that thou wilt come down, and oh, do come and seal that blessing in many a heart, even this night, if it could please thee. Son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Lord, we pray then for those that carry the responsibility here, and the two deacons, we bear them before thee, and seek that thou wilt uphold them and maintain them in that office. Lord, thou knowest the exercise, the burden upon which rests upon them. And Lord, that burden is too great for them. Oh, enable them to continually to cast that burden upon them, and thereby they may be sustained and enabled to continue proving the all-sufficiency of thy grace. And Lord, we pray and seek that thou wilt, as they bear before thee their own personal soul concerns, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to them the desires of their heart. We pray for all thy truths and servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. We bear them before thee and seek that thou wilt remember each one. For, Lord, thou knowest how we come, empty, poor, foolish and ignorant continually. And yet, Lord, thou art faithful that promised, for thou dost fill our seed baskets. And we pray, Lord, that the word this night might go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, that it might enter into poor sinners' hearts. Lord, that souls may be brought to stop and consider where they are, where they're going. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt so work in their hearts, they may be brought to thy feet in real confession and true repentance. And Lord, if there are any here who are satisfied with an outward form of religion, Lord, come and deliver them, we pray. And oh, Lord, do show to them that false hope upon which they're resting, that counterfeit faith which they deem to be that which is right. Lord, bring them to thy feet. And Lord, may they be found like that leper, clothed and in their right mind. Lord, we pray now for a thankful heart, for all thy mercies and favours and blessings to us, how many they are. And Lord, thou art continually better to us than ever we could ask or even think or our sins deserve. Lord, we would be humbled by it. But oh, we pray that there might be found upon our lips more often that spirit of real praise and thankfulness to thee for what thou art and what thou hast done in our poor hearts. Now, as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Lead us into those truths which couch beneath. Lord, deliver us from all intruding thoughts this night, worldly thoughts, and oh, do fix our hearts and desires upon things above, that we may be enabled to feed by faith upon that bread of heaven. Lord, to feed upon thy broken body, thy shed blood. Lord, that will revive our poor hearts. We pray that thou wilt do it, if it could please the unworthy though we are, as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. Hymn 218.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13 and verse 24. The 24th verse in the 13th chapter in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We have before us here in our text a very penetrating word, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he replied to that one, that inquirer, who asked this question, are there few that be saved? Now we find the Lord Jesus here, as he did so often with the Pharisees, as they asked him questions, sometimes seeking to entrap him with their questions. He turns the subject back upon themselves. And here we have, he did it in this case. Instead of answering that question, he exhorted him to strive to enter in at the strait gate. So let us then first of all understand the word itself, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Well, my dear friend, that is that way into eternal life. And that strait gate is through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And all of the Lord's people who enter into glory at last will know something of this exercise of striving to enter in. But before we go any further, let us be very clear, this does not mean in any way that we can use our own strength. My dear friend, it's beyond our capacity in and of ourselves to strive, because you see, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and we have a corrupt heart, which when in an unregenerate state is at enmity against God, without any desire to know him, the way of salvation, well content with the pleasures of this world and the concerns of it. And so it's impossible for such a character who is satisfied with the things in this earth, with no real exercise and desire in their heart over their never dying souls and where they will spend eternity, they'll certainly know nothing of this striving in our text. Now, the word says this, strive to enter in at that strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. In Colossians chapter 1 we have this word, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working which worketh in me mightily. The words of the Apostle Paul. Now that's the secret. And if you and I are found seeking after eternal realities. And if there is that which whereby we have a concern, a gracious concern in our hearts, to know that we are amongst the Lord's favoured characters, amongst those for whom he died, for those who now he entered into glory, and to bring them safely home to be with him forever. It's such characters will know, alone know, this gracious striving. It's this enabling by the work of the Holy Spirit in a poor sinner's heart. You see, it's not an easy way to heaven. The word of God declares it. It is through much tribulation ye must enter the kingdom. And if one might speak of it in this way, my dear friend, if we are found truly seeking and striving, it will be with our whole heart. It will not be with a divided heart. And we would say it reverently, and you'll understand what I'm going to say, not in a half-hearted way. My dear friend, if the Lord is dealing with you and me, it'll be his work, and it'll be a powerful work, and it'll be his work alone as he quickens a soul into divine life and brings them to see their need of a saviour. Do we know it, my dear friend? I wonder how many of us here we can honestly say we are seeking after eternal realities. Or do we gather? I say it lovingly to you, my dear friends. Do we gather in the Lord's house as a matter of custom? It's where we would be, because we have been brought up to gather in the Lord's house when the doors are open. Or do we come to please our parents? And though we know how grieved they might be, if we cease to come, my dear friend, how solemn it is. It isn't that the attendance in the Lord's house has any virtue in it, that is, in your salvation. It is indeed, my dear friend, a favour the Lord accords to his people. And we should be in the Lord's house whenever the doors are open. But you see, religion isn't founded upon our attendance. That's the outward observances of the Lord's ordinances. It's much more than that. And there, if you and I have this real desire in our heart, it'll be because we feel our need. It'll be because we are brought to see what sinners we are in the sight of a holy, holy God. That's not just a natural assent to being a sinner. Many do in the religious world. No, my dear friend, it's much more than that. It's when the Holy Spirit quickens that your soul into divine life, and you see for the very first time what is in your own heart. You begin to understand a little of the deceitfulness, of the depravity, the wickedness which is found there by nature, and brought to a realization of this. To live and die in that state, hell will be your portion. Now, my dear friend, only the Holy Spirit can bring that solemn truth home to your heart and my heart. And it is then we know something of a soul exercise wrought in the heart by the dear Holy Spirit. Well, my dear friend, do we know that word? That's that very first work in the heart of a quickened soul. They're brought into an exercise and concern as to their soul state and where they will spend eternity. Does that trouble you? Is it a concern to you? You see, my dear friend, there's one thing that's very certain. We shall all have to die. And we shall either enter into heaven or hell. The God's word declares it. And those who are amongst the Lord's people, those for whom he died, those whose sins were blotted out and put behind God's back, those for whom his blood was shed, only those will enter into glory, because those characters are those chosen ones, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And they were given to the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem their souls from hell. He knew every one for whom he died. Every one. And his dear people will know themselves, as it is revealed to them by the dear Holy Spirit. They're given a good hope through grace wrought in the heart. They can say, I have a humble hope that Jesus died for me. Now, dear friend, how close these things come. You see, there's no form of religion here. These are divine realities. And how often and how easily we can get taken up with the world, the cares and concerns of it. They seem sometimes to overwhelm our thoughts and seem to have the central concern in our poor hearts. And we lose sight of these eternal realities. Well, my dear friend, one day you and I will have to stand before the judge of the whole earth and to give an account of those things that we have done, whether good or evil. We shall each be there. Not one of us, my dear friend, will be missing. And oh, how will it be then? What will be our claim? When we're called to account for our sins, will we have a good hope through grace? Will we be enabled to declare our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? That which the dear Holy Spirit has revealed to us in our poor hearts? Because it must be so ere we leave this world. You see, our consciences will bear witness to our condition. And the Lord sees and knows the heart. And he'll judge it. Not according to our sins, but his dear people are viewed in the person of the Lord Jesus, who stood in their room and place as their substitute, bore the curse of sin, shed his blood to atone for those sins. He went to the end of the law for righteousness for his dear people, that his children might be clothed in his righteousness, washed in his blood, viewed perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dear friend, we have to address these things to ourselves, don't we? Our own case. Where are we? A searching question. Well, my dear friend, if we are amongst those who are spiritually exercised, we shall then know something of this exercise in the heart, to strive. And that is a striving, my dear friend, as enabled by the dear Holy Spirit. We said it was not something which we can do in the flesh. That's utterly impossible, my dear friend. But it's the work of the dear Holy Spirit in your heart and my heart. Now, implied in this word, in striving, is that there is opposition. There is that which comes before us, that which has to be and needs to be overcome. There is that which we shall have to strive against. And what is it? The Lord's people know it. Do you? You know we have many enemies that will oppose that work of grace in your heart and my heart. There'll many things that'll come up against us to try us. If we're amongst the Lord's people, we shall know it. You shall know so often many of those subtle temptations of the enemy to our souls. And you know, when a soul is quickened into divine life and they're brought into a real exercise and concern, I believe they're brought to feel the effect of sin in their hearts as they've never known it before. That's the power of sin within. Now the devil observes that change in the character of that one, not because he knows the thoughts, he doesn't know the thoughts of the Lord's people. But you know, he follows them very closely. Where we find, don't we, in Job, we read, he was walking up and down and to and fro in the earth, Satan. And he observes all that is taking place. And he sees those evidence, those times when we're on our knees. He hears those cries which are offered up audibly. He sees the effect, the change wrought in our lives, where we're now seeking those things which we had no desire after once. And so he seeks to assault that soul and seeks to destroy that work of grace in their heart. He never will, but you know how he tries. He observes those besetting sins. He suits the circumstances. He knows when we're at our weakest. It's then when he comes with his evil suggestions. And sometimes, my dear friend, our poor, weak hearts comply with those suggestions and we fall into temptation. Just like Adam did. Now, my dear friend, that is the objective of the devil, to bring that one down. And when fallen under that temptation, he then turns accuser. He tells them, now you've sinned beyond any hope of reconciliation. He'll so distress that poor soul, they become almost at their wits' end as to where they are and where they stand. You see, his objective is to distress them and destroy them. But you know, those characters, quickened into divine life, are the recipients of God's grace. And that grace flows through the dear Lord Jesus. And he sustains and upholds that one and maintains them in that path. They know what it is to have to strive against that enemy to their souls. And not only do they strive, so often they feel their weakness and their insufficiency. We cannot keep ourselves, and that is one vital lesson the child of God learns in the very beginning of the way, none can keep alive his own soul. We cannot keep our thoughts. We cannot keep our mouths. David knew it, didn't he? He said, set a watch before my mouth. He said, keep the door of my lips, O Lord. And I believe that'll be the petition of many of the Lord's living family as they find and know the power of that enemy to their souls. There's a striving then against these things. And what is the effect? We have to bring it to the throne of grace. Lord, more grace. Lord, hold me up. Lord, preserve me. Keep me from falling. Lord, be round about me continually. Leave me not to fall again. The cry of that soul striving with that desire in their heart to be kept. Secondly, my dear friend, the world, there's a striving against the world in our hearts. Don't we know it? How easily we can be taken up with the things of time and sense. You know, was it the psalmist said this? Oh, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed. Do you know what it is to be overwhelmed with the things of the world? Those things that perhaps in your lawful calling, it seems they're so great. The difficulty is of such magnitude that it overwhelms your thoughts. And you not only do you how they are upon your mind during the day, but you lay awake with them during the night. Your poor heart is overwhelmed with the cares of time and sense. And my dear friend, that will bring that cry from the heart. And there will be that striving to be delivered. And you know, those of you who know what we're speaking about, we shall find we're utterly powerless to deliver ourselves from that condition. But it brings us to this point again. We have to cry and cry unto the Lord and plead that he would come and deliver us from our distresses. And he will, as he did those characters in Psalm 107, when they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Do we know, my dear, from what it is to strive against these things? You see, the one with a fleshly religion, the one in the world, know nothing of this. Why, the world, they're in their element there. They're well satisfied with the pleasures of it and the satisfaction of it. There's no striving in their heart. Rather, my dear friend, there is an appetite to embrace more and more of it. It's different now with those souls who are seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, conscious of what sinners they are. Oh, now they want to be delivered from the world and its ensnaring influence. And my dear young friends, the world is a snare to many, especially in our young days, when we are standing on the threshold, as it were, of life. There are those things that in our natural minds we thirst after and desire after. They come from our sinful hearts, and they seem so attractive to us, and we perhaps by nature long to go there, obtain this. But my dear friend, if the Lord has quickened you into divine life, one thing is sure, he'll bring all those worldly pleasures and to see that they're nothing. They'll give you no satisfaction in your life. it is to see there are those things that are going to bring lasting happiness, lasting satisfaction, and that's alone in the person, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Often when the Lord begins a work of grace in the heart of a child of God, it's often takes place with that one not being wholly aware of it. Let me explain. Sometimes when the Lord begins that work of grace, he shows that one the emptiness of the world and all that pleasure, those pleasures that we once enjoyed. He takes that pleasure away, and no longer can you get that satisfaction, that happiness that you thought you knew and enjoyed. It's all empty now. You've got that void in your heart that nothing else, nothing can fill. The world cannot fill it. The work of the dear Holy Spirit, that one being taught and led, of the, how the ensnaring influence of the world. You see, one day, this world, we read, will be burned up, and everything in it. And that will be the end of time, when all will be called to that greater size in heaven. Striving then, my dear friend, against the world. Now there's something else, which is, I believe, one of those biggest things that the child of God has to contend with. And what's that? Our own hearts. And you know, as we get older, and if we're amongst the Lord's people and we are being led and taught by the Holy Spirit, we shall be seeing increasingly the depths and depravity of our heart, the deceits of our heart, that it's desperately wicked. The imaginations of the thoughts of a man's heart are nothing but evil continually. Can you keep your thoughts, those sinful thoughts? Dear, that David knew it, didn't he? Came to this, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Has that prayer been yours? Those secret sins, known by none other, the effect of a corrupt heart by nature. You, perhaps there are those of you who say here tonight, a child of God, one of the Lord's people, knowing this. Well, my dear friend, if you, the Lord quickens you into divine life, you're going to know it very painfully. And it's this wretched heart of ours, by that nature which we have, we'll have to carry it right down to the grave. And it'll be a constant concern, a constant burden to us. You know, what was it one said? Oh, that I had not a myself. You see, the heart is the seat of every sin. It's the seat of the affections, naturally speaking. But you know, it's the seat of, if the heart is wrong, the thought is wrong, the word is wrong, the deed is wrong, is sinful. But my dear friend, as the Lord quickens a soul into divine life and gives them that new heart, those new desires, those concerns which they have, there is a desire to do that which is right in God's sight. We find in Romans 7, don't we, where the Apostle Paul, he gives to us a glimpse of what was in his own heart. And oh, how many of the Lord's people have been so thankful that that is there recorded, as we find in even that dear apostle, so blessed, an eminent preacher of the gospel, who suffered much for his Lord and Master, And yet he knew something of his sinful heart and the depravity of it. He said, didn't he, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." And it'll be that striving within the heart of a child of God, seeking that those evil thoughts that arise there should be subdued and to be delivered from. And you know, that heart, that nature, we shall carry right down to the end of our time here below. What is it, my dear friend, as a poor sinner comes into the Lord's house, perhaps seeking a portion for their soul spiritually exercised, waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon a word through his servant, and you find before very long your poor heart is taken up with the things of this world of time and sense, and you find the time is passing and you have no attention to the word, the effect of this sinful heart of ours. And my dear friend, it'll be a constant, it's a plague, it's a constant concern to the heart, to the all of the Lord's living family. Do we know it? It'll be a striving for that sin and that wickedness to be subdued. You see, we do sin, and will sin, right down to our dying day. All that we say and do is imperfect, it's tainted with sin, and it arises from that corrupt heart which we have by nature. But that one is raised up as they come seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They come as a poor, needy sinner, falling to the feet of the Lord Jesus, pleading that he'd have mercy upon them. And all of the Lord's people are brought to that very point in their experience, I believe. Everyone must be. We have to come to that place having nothing. You've been brought there to feel to have nothing, to possess nothing, can do nothing, helpless, destitute. Now that's where the Lord brings his people, feelingly. I'm speaking spiritually now, where he brings his people feelingly. In their own hearts, you see, they're being taught that what is, there's nothing in self, but oh, my dear friend, there's everything in Christ. In that provision which was made in the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the dear Saviour stood in the poor sinner's room and place and stead, and satisfied the divine justice of God, and pacified his wrath against the sins of his people. Therein, my dear friend, that one's soul has been redeemed, and that one day will reach heaven at last. Do we know this striving, my dear friend? I believe the Lord's people know it daily, I believe. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. Now we have a very solemn word. For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What does that mean? My dear friend, let us be very, very clear. If the Lord is teaching and instructing you, and you are seeking after him, although feeling so poor, so sinful, so ignorant, and yet only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy your longing soul, you will be found amongst those favoured characters who do enter in, because it's a work of divine grace in the heart of your inner, of a poor sinner. And if the Lord has begun that good work, he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now then, what does this word mean? There'll be many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Well, it's those, my dear friend, who have a formal religion, a fleshly religion, satisfied with that which they rest in their intellect, their knowledge of the gospel. Ones are those that give an intellectual assent to the truth and conclude that thereby they truly believe. The work, there's no work of the Holy Spirit there, my dear friend. It's those who are under the teaching of the dear Holy Spirit that will enter in, but they'll be found resting alone upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the ground of their hope of being received one day to be forever with the dear Lord Jesus when we are called from time to eternity. You see, it comes to this. There are those who do enter in, are those who live by faith, those who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an exercise that is to the Lord's living family. Do I really believe? Do I possess that precious grace of living faith? Do I rest my hope upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I have the Holy Spirit's testimony of my interest in him and what he has done? Do I know and have a humble hope that all my sins have been forgiven, all laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary? Well, my dear friend, that's the distinction between those who possess true living faith and those who have a formal faith, that which flows out of their own natural minds, for we're going to live by faith. You see, it's upon the Lord Jesus Christ, having been brought to rest our hope in him, we shall be brought to trust in him, to live upon him day by day, in the fulfilment of his precious promises concerning those to whom he gave those promises, all of the Lord's people. They each one has a title to those promises. We're going to be brought to live upon them, that is, to plead continually the fulfilment of them, believing that the Lord will fulfill those promises in his time and in his way. Live upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his sufficiency. He'll be made wisdom, our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. There's all in him, and that's what a child of God will live upon. His strength, his power, his grace. That's where each one of these seeking souls will be brought to live upon the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul was brought there. He came to this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you say that? Can I say that? My dear friend, is it your desire, my desire, to be enabled to truly say that before God? That's where we shall be brought, my dear friend, before we leave this world, because the dear Lord Jesus Christ will be everything to us. And it will be this: none but Jesus can do my poor soul any good to live upon Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. These characters, those whom the Lord has loved from eternity past, whom he determined to display the wonders of his grace to them, it's these characters who will sing his praises eternally one day. Each one, my dear friend, will know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and have that truth sealed in their heart by the Holy Spirit. The just shall live by faith. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now finally, we said earlier that those who gather in the Lord's house out of a form, if they live and die in that state, how solemn will be the outcome. But you know, it's rested upon my spirit much of recent months and much of recent days. You know, we can become a church member and yet, my dear friend, be out of the secret, satisfied with being a church member, deceived. Again, my dear friend, we can hold office in the church. Doesn't mean, my dear friend, that we're a child of God. Solemn thought, isn't it? The Lord knoweth them that are his. You see, it's this: many are called, many hear the gospel preached, but few are chosen. And those chosen ones are those whom he set his love upon in eternity past to manifest the wonders of his grace. It's those who know a precious Christ, and their hope is built on nothing less than his blood and righteousness. Well, I leave the word with you. May it be a searching word to us. May it stir up an exercise in our hearts as to where we really stand, and what do we know? What has the Lord done for us? What has he spoken to us? What seal has he given? What testimony has he given of his love and mercy to our souls? My dear friend, if we come to that exercise rightly and sincerely, it will be profitable to our souls. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Oh, may it be our great concern to be found amongst that favoured number, to sit around that throne in heaven with that glorious song upon our lips unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Woodhouse on Friday evening next week, when we shall hope to take a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Let us close with hymn 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear. My requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this night, and that which has been aright in thy sight, do cause to abide in our hearts. Watch over us now as we part, grant journeying mercies, and be with us through the remainder of our journeys here below, and prepare us each for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.